The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Open up, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. The crinkling of paper. I should get it together one of these days. Just have one of these nice notebooks that opens up all my notes. Hebrews chapter 11. How many are aware that I felt like the Lord had given me not just a word, but a passion, a desire, at the beginning of 2014 for simplicity. If you were at our annual members meeting, the headliner on our booklet was the simplicity, a year of discovering simplicity and finding simplicity in love, finding simplicity in faith, and finding simplicity in service. How many know that religion screws up all three of those areas? Yeah. You know? And I just feel like I have felt for years that the desire to see signs, wonders, miracles, to see the manifestation of God's heart and the kingdom on the planet, the key that's going to turn that is going to be simplicity. I somehow, something God has just put in my heart that when you see Jesus, that things happened around him when he just preached the simple gospel of the kingdom. That there is a kingdom and a realm that is invading the planet. And that the impossible things are now possible. And so Jesus would say things like, in the face of impossible situations, Jesus would say things like, only believe. Just believe. Good word. And when the multitudes came to Jesus and said, Jesus, what do we got to do to do the works of God? He says, this is the work of God, to believe on him whom he sent. So I somehow feel like this issue of faith has been confused over the years by any time. Bob preached a great message a few weeks back about not adding to the report. What tends to happen, what's happened over the last, I'd say, handful of years, the last 30 years, is that there is always seems to be a yeah, but that comes with the gospel. That we try to find out why things are not working so much that we attribute all sorts of things to our failures in justification of not living and walking in simple power. You know what I'm saying? We want to make ourselves feel better about our lack of power. So we find all sorts of reasons why power's not working. And this really isn't a message about power. This is a message about bringing the heartbeat of heaven into a planet. Now, for me, I find that things get simple when I understand them, right? When I get a deeper understanding of what's being spoken. So this morning I want to look at Hebrews chapter 11. It's going to look like we're going to get really into a big mess, but my hope is by the end of the day, there is going to be an impartation of an ability to just believe. Just to believe. Just to believe. Just to believe. Only to believe. How many want to go for that? All right. Hebrews chapter 11, very, very familiar scripture. It says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things that are visible. We're not made, of things which are visible. In other words, everything that we see was made from things that are invisible. That there is an invisible realm that has produced everything that we see. That there is a realm beyond this realm that has produced everything we see. We can't get that backwards. We can't think that everything that we see has to make sense in light of the invisible, or that the invisible has to be made sense of in light of what's seen. How many times do we judge the faithfulness of God based on what we see? How many times do we base where the kingdom and the church is at based on what we see? See, I have a dream for this nation. And if I base it on what I'm seeing happening in this nation, then the dream, the hope that's in my heart is going to look pretty shabby. But I have a dream for this nation, not because of what's seen, but because of what's not seen. My hope for this nation, my hope for my marriage, my hope for my children, my hope for my finances, my hope for debt-free, my hope for everything that I want to see in this realm must be dictated from another realm. All right, now, we can take that to the place where it never connects. Heaven, we're so lost in heaven that it never connects with earth. That's not real faith. The scripture says here that faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. The word substance there, actually, it's like the foundation of a building. It's a substrate. It's an undergirding. It's something that comes underneath. So faith is a substance. It's like if you were here before this building was built, you'd find that all the way around the perimeter of this building, there was a foundation put in. The foundation is no longer seen. It's invisible now, but I'll tell you what, this structure could not have been built without a foundation. All along that wall, you ever wondered why there are those things sticking out there? Do you ever wondered why that's not just a smooth wall? It's because underneath that part that juts out right there, there's a footing. And the whole building, all the roof system is resting on that footing. It's unseen, but it's like faith. Faith is a substance. What's it a substance of? It says. What's faith a substance of?
Things hoped for.
Things hoped for. Okay, so what are the things hoped for? The promises of God, the Word of God. There's a scripture in Romans chapter 10, I think it is, that says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. See, a lot of people are running around with kind of an invented faith or an invented hope, something that is based on this realm. Can I tell you that a hope that's based on this realm really is not hope at all? See, there's another scripture that says, if it's seen, if it's visible, it's no longer hope. Why do we hope for that which we see? And there is an invisible realm from where we draw our hope. Okay, so faith undergirds the unseen realm, the hope, the dreams, the word of the Lord over your life, the word of the Lord over my life, the passions that he's... I believe that God, when you were knit together in your mother's womb, I believe God was speaking a word over you. I just believe that. I take Psalm 139 pretty literally. He was there knitting together in the mother's womb. He was knitting you together. And he spoke some words over you. He spoke some hope. He pulled out of the eternal kingdom and spoke into your physical body and into who you are, into your character, into your nature, into everything that you're designed to be. He spoke some hopes, some dreams. I'm sorry, I'm just simple enough to believe that. I don't need to go through all sorts of mental gymnastics to figure that out. I just believe. I believe that you were created with a significance. I believe that you were created with a destiny. I believe that you were created with some hopes, some dreams, some passions. In Ephesians, I'm sorry, I'm pulling on scriptures that I didn't prepare for today. But in Ephesians chapter 3, there is the fact that we are His inheritance. To know what we are, the inheritance in the saints, the inheritance that He has in the saints. That scripture says to me that He had a dream, and we're part of His inheritance. Not only do we receive inheritance, but the Father receives inheritance. Because of the dreams, the hopes, the things that He spoke into you from when you were knit in your mother's womb. In fact, a little later on in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says that you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And that there are good works that were laid, there are hopes that were laid upon you from before the foundation of the earth. See, you are an eternal being. Not that you were living in the eternal past, but God knew some things that He was going to speak. He was going to create somebody that He would impart part of His dreams to. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I tell you, if you have ever seen somebody that is hopeless, that wants to commit suicide, that just has no hope, they're some of the most... heart-wrenching people that you can see. When there is no light of hope, there's no hope for their marriage, there's no hope for their life, no hope for their children, no hope for anything. I tell you, that just steals, it robs, it kills, it destroys who God has created man to look like when He fashioned us in His image. How many know that God is a God of hope? He is a God of hope. God has hopes. God has dreams. Even God functions like the faith that's written in Hebrews 11, 1. God functions out of that. So faith is a substance. It's the undergirding. It's the foundation of the hopes and dreams that God's put in you. And not only that, it's the evidence of the things that are not seen. What's that saying? I believe it's saying this. It's saying that there are two parts to faith. There is the unseen, the internal reality, the substance of what you know, that you know, that you know, that you know. The evidence is when you start living it out, walking it out, speaking it out. It's the evidence of things not seen. That's why James says, he says, you show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. He's not saying that your works justify you or that your works do anything except that it's evidence that there is something building inside, that there is something inside of you that's bigger than yourself, that there's something inside of you that has come from an invisible realm, and now we have the high privilege to walk it out, to live it out. So we have the foundation, but we also have a building. See, and if faith just stays in that hope realm, here's the deal. When something comes to you that is of the Word of God, when you know that you know that you know, the Word of the Lord has been spoken over you, something has to change in the evidence. If that stays in the invisible realm, you'll become a forgetful hearer of the word. If there isn't an action that's taken, now that action might be speaking it out. I believe a lot of our prayers are just speaking out what is put in us from the invisible realm. It can just begin there. It can begin by making proclamation. It can begin by asking God to renew us in the spirit of our mind to come into an alignment with that which is spoken inside. See, this is faith. This is really faith. Faith isn't a hope so, a dream of that's built on, you know, just what we see in this realm. It's bigger than that. And God functioned out of this faith. The scripture says
By faith, we understand, we know that God created the world. I was talking a few weeks ago with Dan Notley, good friend of mine, and I actually confirmed it with Bob the other day. But Dan challenged me with something. He said, and he's a student of the Greek, and he says that that particular scripture, it's verse 3, was actually written a little bit wrong. It was translated a little bit wrong. In other words, that verse seems to put an emphasis on my faith. I believe that God created the earth. The real rendering of that, and I can believe it both ways, so you know that's all right. But one of the ways that you can look at that verse, and it's within the realm of proper interpretation, is that we believe that God, through faith, created the worlds. In other words, God modeled faith. God is always modeling faith. God is always calling things that are not as though they are. He has the substantial, the substance, the hope, the dream, and then he has the evidence where he speaks it out. And that initiates the fulfillment of faith. We believe that by faith, God created the worlds. The word there, worlds, is, you know, if we take that at face value, I've had people say, well, is there more than one world? Well, if you understand what that word is, the word translated there is, in the Greek, is eons. In other words, it's got more than just the fact that there's earth underneath us, that there's ground down here. It encompasses that. It entails that the earth, the physical, was created in light of the eon or the age that is established, that we're living in right now. I want to give you a couple of scriptures how that word is used. That word eon is translated several different ways in the New Testament. It's translated world, it's translated age. Sometimes the Old King James used the word world, the New King James uses age. It really doesn't matter. What it's talking about is a time period, a dispensation, a time frame. It's not talking about the earth, okay? In fact, many times it's created, or translated with a compound word, with another word that means forever. In other words, all the ages, forever and ever and ever. That he is the king, omnipotent, and he reigns forever and ever and ever. That means eons and eons and eons and eons. That he's eternal. Sometimes it's translated eternal. Okay? So that's the understanding of this word eons. We understand that through faith, God created eons. What eons? Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. This is the parable of the sowing of the seed. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The word, the cares of this world, this eon, this dispensation, this time frame, allows everything to be choked out. In other words, it's saying that we do have cares in this world, in this time frame, in this existence, don't we? We have things that we need to pay attention to. I need to eat. I should exercise. There's a lot of things that are necessary in this eon, in this age called the age of man. There are things, there are rules, there's laws, there are things in this eon that will happen. Gravity is one of them. If you jump off a building, you're going to fall. All right? In this age, that will happen. How many know that there is an age beyond this age, an eternal age, where that won't happen? Okay, you know, and there's an age beyond this age where we will not have to feed our face with Cheerios. I mean, come on. So the cares of this world can actually choke out, though, the eternal from beyond this realm, from another realm, another eon, the cares of this world, if we're focused on it, will actually choke out the eternal seed that's been planted. You have an eternal seed, a seed that's from a different age, a different realm that is planted in your heart. When the cares of this realm supersede the nurturing of that seed, it'll be choked out. Do you see that? It's not talking about the planet Earth here. It's talking about a time frame that we will define in a minute. Matthew chapter 13, verse 39. The enemy who sowed them, and this is the explanation of the sower and the seed. The enemy who has sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. We see there that there is an end to this age. There is an end to this world. Does that mean the earth will be destroyed? I don't really think so. I don't really know. There are some places where it talks about the earth as being kind of an eternal thing. I don't know. I don't really know. But nevertheless, this time frame, this age, this eon will have an end. That Jesus is going to return, things are going to happen, and we'll move into a new age. Another age, not the new age. There is a new age, and there is a legitimate new age. Mark 10:30. Who shall not receive, this is talking about if you give up houses and brothers and all this stuff. And it says, Jesus is talking, he says, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions in the age to come. So there's an end of an age, and there's a coming of an age. Now these are all created in Hebrews chapter 3, or chapter 11, verse 3. These are the ages that God created. Is this making sense? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, this dispensation, this time frame. There's rulers in this age, both spiritual and physical, that carry a wisdom that is not from the age to come. Right? But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. So there is a wisdom from an age that supersedes this age. It was before and it's after. It's eternal. Right? None of the rulers this age knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So this age has rulers. They're spiritual, they're physical. There is an order in this age. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. That's a curious verse. This was written 2,000 years ago by the Apostle Paul. And he talks about the ends of the ages that have come upon us. Now, does that sound to you like he's talking about sometime 2,000, 3,000 years in the future? If that age, the end of that age has come upon us, contained within this age, there are other ages. There was the Mosaic Age or dispensation, where the approach to God was through law, through sacrifice. We're now living in the Kingdom Age. The Mosaic Age is what was being talked about here. The ends of this age has come upon us. There are some examples from that age that are for our admonition. Nevertheless, that age is coming to an end, and we're entering into a kingdom age. We are living in the kingdom age. Right? Is this making this simple? We'll get there. Trust me. 2 Corinthians 4:4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The God of darkness blinds the people of this age through unbelief. Okay, so we have faith. When we define faith the way we define faith, that it's something that comes from the heart of God. Unbelief is a fruit of this world. If we're living in unbelief, that's a manifestation of the God of this world, of this age. That is not a manifestation of the eternal God. Okay? Unbelief, it's, you know what? I want to see unbelief broken in my life. I'm not preaching this as somebody who's arrived. I'm preaching it as somebody who's pursuing something. And I want to find a simplicity in faith where I can just believe. So we are living in the age of man. It's a created age. Man was designed to look like God, act like God, to think like God. And yet the God of this world has blinded. The God of this age has blinded us to how God created, to the hope, to the dream that was in God's heart when he created man. So I want to make somebody in my image. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. There's some mystery surrounding Genesis chapter 1, and I am not even going to try to go there. But there's some things that I want to see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was without form, it was void, darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Do you see there how God, by faith, this is what's being talked about in Hebrews chapter 11, that this is by, we believe that by faith, by God having a dream, he created the heavens and the earth. Now, how many know that the heavens and the earth that's being described there doesn't look like something God would create? Let me get out my trusty cell phone here. The earth was without form. What that's saying that it was laid waste. It was a desolation. It was a desert. It was a worthless thing. It was a vain thing. There was confusion. It was an empty place. It was without form. It was nothing. It was not. It was vain. It was vanity. It was waste. How many know that that doesn't sound like God? I mean, everything that God created, he stood back. He said, look, it's really good. This is really good. That doesn't look like God's creation, does it? It says it was void. Here's the meaning of the word void. It means that it was empty. It was a vacuity. It was like a vacuum. An indistinguishable ruin, emptiness. It was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Here's the definition of darkness. It's the dark. Literally, it's the dark. But figuratively, it's misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, wickedness. Okay, so that's what was on the face of the planet in Genesis chapter 1. How that happened, I don't know. There's theories. There's a gap theory that says in between, you know, the verses that, you know, God created it and it was good, but then Satan was cast to earth and his kingdom reigned and he ruled, and, you know, I don't know. I'm not even going to try to go there. Here's my point in all this. In creation, there's a confrontation. Faith is really just a it's simple. It's a confrontation with the kingdom of darkness, with the kingdom of light. So what we have here is God makes a declaration. He sees all this chaos and all this stuff that was on the face of the earth, and he's not creating a physical sun and moon yet, right? That doesn't happen till the fourth day. This is still the first day. So what's he doing here? I believe that there is a confrontation of light, spiritual light, and spiritual darkness. I believe that there's a line that's drawn in the sand that says, in this age, there is going to be good and there's going to be evil. There's going to be chaos and there's going to be peace. There's going to be confusion and there's going to be something that makes sense. There's going to be order. Is this making sense? This is God exercising his faith. His exercising faith in our first recorded, at least what we know, the first thing he did was there was a confrontation of the spirit of light or of darkness with all of its fruit and everything that it carries with the spirit of light of his goodness, of his kingdom. And he says that he separated the light from the darkness. There was a separation. See, part of the thing that makes our faith difficult is that we have confused light and darkness. The reason love gets confused is because we combine the kingdom of darkness and thinking that love is about something physical when it's really about something spiritual. It's of the kingdom of light, and it's not from the kingdom of darkness. The reason love in the church is confused is because we have confused religion and called it love. Okay, see, what we want to do is we want to start to understand that there was a division. The first act of faith that God did because of the dream that was in his heart, because of the hope that was in his heart, was he spoke into this realm, into this age, the age of man, he spoke and said, there's going to be light. And light and darkness are going to be separated. Never the two shall meet. You, beloved, are people of light. You're people of the kingdom. The double-mindedness that comes because of religion, because of hurts, because of what's been modeled to us. You know what? We got to cast that stuff off. And you need to know that you are a son, that you're a daughter of light. You're a son and you're a daughter, not of the realm of confusion and vanity and wasteland, but you are a son. You're a daughter of fruitfulness. There's fruit in your life. God, you know, everything that looks like the kingdom has fruit. It looks alive. It looks vibrant. When we were singing this morning about, death has been defeated, it couldn't hold us down. What are we singing? We're saying that the darkness, the kingdom of darkness, has utterly and completely and totally been defeated. And we are now children of light. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. It used to be our only reference point. There's a new reference point, and it's called the kingdom of light. And never the twain shall meet. This has been defeated in my life. Now, I'll tell you what, sometimes I look at my life, and in this realm, I see that it's not so defeated. Okay, I'm being honest with you. But the kingdom of light says it is defeated. And do I want to listen to something that is just in this realm? Do I want to listen to something that's just in this age? Can I encourage you? There's good news on the horizon that reconciliation with God has reconciled us not just to the person, but to his kingdom. Amen. And his kingdom supersedes this kingdom. His age supersedes this age. His age was before this age. It's all encompassing this age. It's after this age. His age, the age of the kingdom, is surrounding this realm, the realm of man. And you and I are actually invited into the kingdom of God. We no longer have to function from this realm. Only believe. Only believe and broken legs are going to be healed. Only believe and the dead are going to be raised. Only believe and a woman with 18 years of an issue of blood. Only believe. And something from that realm, the invisible realm, is going to create a reality, a new reality in this realm. This is heady stuff unless you realize that you can't accomplish it. This is heady stuff unless you just understand that it's only ours by entering into the kingdom and entering into the invisible, the hidden, the secrets of the heart of God. You cannot live this kind of faith apart from knowing the secret heart of God. Intimacy. Head on the chest, hearing his heartbeat. But I'll tell you what, you don't have to be in your quiet place to do that. You can live your life. You can be on an assembly line. You can be in an office. You can be anywhere. And if you're inclined to the heart of God, you can hear it in an instant. You can pick up on the secrets of God. And you can make a proclamation that'll bring that secret, that substance, and you can make it evidential. You're created to live this life. You're born again into this life. The incorruptible, the imperishable seed of the gospel, the good news, has been placed into the womb of your spirit. And even now it's bringing life. Even now it's increasing light. Even now it's pumping something different through your veins, something for which you've been created. I tell you, it's not a matter of studying more. It's a matter of believing. That's God calling. We won't silence that one. No way. Uh-uh. Matthew chapter 6. I want to simplify a little bit. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. It sounds like the kingdom that God created, doesn't it? But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot. Say this with me. I cannot serve God and mammon. I cannot serve the eternal and the temporal at the same time. And that serving there means making it a Lord. We are called to serve in the temporal. Make no mistake about it. The way we bring heaven to earth is through serving. But I tell you what, if the light that's in your eye, and now we're talking not about these things poking in your head. We're talking about the eyes of your spirit. We're talking about the ears of your spirit. We're talking about how you communicate with God. We're talking about how you pull from the invisible realm. You pull from the invisible realm with the eyes of your heart, with the ears of your heart. You pull from the invisible realm out of these eyes. And if these eyes are secretly, quietly, but surely lusting after the things and focused on this realm, and all of your decisions are made from this realm, and all of your hope, all of your future is laid upon this realm, I'll tell you, you're going to be receiving a kingdom of darkness. But if you can posture your heart in a way that dreams with God, that sees with God, that has the vision and the heartbeat of God, that will not succumb to the hopelessness of this realm, of this dispensation, of this age. If you can enter into a timeless age in your spirit man, then you will be full of light. You will be full of hope. You will be full of courage. You will be full of something that is going to be eternal and is eternal in nature. We sang it this morning. We sang about an awakening. This is what we're singing about. We're singing about the eyes of our heart being open so that we can see eternally. Faith is that substance of things hoped for. The evidence lies in when we take what we see in hope and we start to live it out in this realm, in this life, in this age that we are called to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. In this age where we are called to take dominion and to rule over. Do you see it? Is your heart being awakened to the simplicity this morning? It's as simple as this. God has a dream. He's always got a dream. He's always, always, always got a dream. He's always got a dream. We have access to the dreams of God. And we activate it in this realm. And the impossible becomes possible. The things that if our eyes are focused on the problem and on the issue, that will not move when they're focused on the hope of the eternal kingdom, they must bow the knee to the kingdom of light. Oh, come on up, Terry. Please. You know what? I want to preface this. No, it's about who Carrie is. This isn't puffing you up. This isn't at all. This is part of the dream of God that's in you. This is part of why he created you. Carrie carries... I like that. Carrie carries a prophetic anointing that will release an impartation if we know how to have eyes and ears of the Spirit to receive it. So she's not getting up here. I know Carrie. She doesn't want the limelight. She wants to release something that's in the heartbeat of God this morning. Posture your hearts to receive this morning.
Thank you. Well, I feel like God wanted me to come up here kind of as an exclamation point to what Dave is speaking today, because before I came to the service today, God was speaking to me about faith, and he reminded me of a story I haven't thought of in years, and I don't remember all the details of it, but it was in Egypt, and it was these Copts. When Ken and I went to Egypt, we heard the story, and it was about these Coptic priests, and I believe... that they were going to be killed by the emperor, the leader, or whatever. And this, I don't remember all the details, but it's just this part. But he got all the people together, and they prayed and fasted. And there was something to do with this physical mountain that needed to be moved. And a physical mountain was actually moved by their prayer and fasting. Wow. And there's, I don't remember all the details, but I was like, hey, Lord, why are you bringing this to my mind? And then in the service today, God kept speaking to me about faith, and then everybody was talking about love, and I'm like, hey, God, am I totally off? And then when you got up to preach, I was like, okay, I know why. But I feel like I'm to release this over our congregation. I kept hearing this phrase, let faith arise and your enemies be scattered. Let faith arise and your enemies be scattered in the name of Jesus. The enemy is to be defeated because of the faith that is going to arise in our hearts. And I feel like God is doing things in us. He's bringing these revelations of the love of God for us that they were speaking today. Because I was asking God, okay, what does this have to do with faith? They're speaking about your love. And I felt like God was saying, when you receive a true revelation of my love and my kingdom, you become secure and you become confident in me and who you are in me. And what is faith? But faith is faith in God. Not in ourselves, not in the world, not in our circumstance, but it's faith in God. Faith in who God is. Faith in who that God is here for you and he's for you and not against you. So the Lord is saying, let that faith arise. Faith to move mountains. Mountains of disease, mountains of sickness, mountains of adverse circumstances. Father, we thank you for that. And I felt like the other piece, he was talking about light. And I asked the Lord, why did I blow the trumpet last week? And I felt like, again, it was just saying, God saying, it's time, it's time, it's time. It's time for the expectant faith to arise. And I am releasing the Isaiah 60, and arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord will rise upon you, has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth. And that's speaking of our enemies, it's speaking of the things that come against us, and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you, and the nations will come to your light. So I feel like it's connected, the light of God, the revelation that God's bringing us to us of who we are, who he is, about his love, about what true faith is, about his kingdom, that as that arises, the light begins to shine in our lives. It begins to shine to others. And it shines in our city, in our region, and people will come to the light of Jesus Christ, to the truth. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Wow. That was good. Faith is inseparable from love. Faith cannot be separated from the love of God. It's impossible to separate faith and love. You cannot. Because it's the love of God that creates hope in our hearts, in our lives. When we understand how much God loves people who are created in his image, then you understand that the darkness will confuse the issue every time. Pure hearts of love, where there is no hidden agenda, no selfish agenda. It is absolutely generous. It is the kind of love that will release faith. Let's stand together. Father, you know my desire this morning is to simplify faith. God, that faith is really a confrontation of light and darkness.
We are children of light. We're children that know your heartbeat. So, Father, in the days to come, I pray that we would be a people that would just believe, only believe, just to believe that we function from victory, not for victory. That we function from love, not for love. That the work we believe was completely, unreservedly, wholly finished in Christ Jesus. We believe on Jesus. We believe that we have been reconciled so that we can hear the very heartbeat of God. Father, we thank you for it. I pray you settle some things in our hearts this morning. Continue the good work that we could really come with faith like a child. Childlike faith. Just believing in your goodness, in your love, in your provision. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.